of the Psalms. So this morning, if you would turn your Bible to Psalm the last, it would be Psalm 150. Tonight we'll be concluding our series in the Psalms, and this psalm is a very adequate and apt conclusion. Psalms, songs of praise to God. And Psalm 150 is, in many ways, the crescendo of all that the Psalms are building towards. It is succinct, but it is clear. It is clear regarding praise. Now, praise, it's not necessarily a word we use all that often. For those who do use it, it's usually those who are in church. Praise means the expression or to express warm approval or admiration of something. To express a favorable judgment of something or someone, to commend. What is normative and what we can all agree on is that we are all praisers. God has created us and instilled in us a passion to praise things. We praise celebrities, we praise athletic teams, we praise athletes, we praise movies, we praise teachers, we praise employees and businesses. We are a people, humanity, who naturally praise. We naturally commend that which we adore, that which we approve. If you speak to anyone for any period of time, even a short period of time, you're going to become familiar with that which they praise. They may not use the term praise, but as they go on and on and on about their favorite phone or their favorite movie or their favorite athletic team or what they love about their job or their kid, they're commending something. They are praising something. As we come to Psalm 150, this psalm comes at the end of the Psalms, but also the end of five psalms, beginning at Psalm 146, which are all praise psalms. And each one of them begin with the phrase, praise the Lord, or depending on your translation, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And so it's the culmination of these psalms of praise, and it's the culmination of all the psalms, and as it culminates, it's simply going to repeat to us over and over and over and over and over in six short verses, repeating the refrain, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it will answer for us four nagging questions regarding praise, and particularly regarding praise of God. So we're going to look together at Psalm 150. Finish up our series in the Psalms during the summer and see what God says to us about His worthiness to be praised, where we should praise Him, when we should praise Him, why we should praise Him, how we should praise Him, who should praise Him. And we will end the worship wars here tonight forever and ever. No church will ever have more issues after we get done tonight. So Psalm 150. Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. Praise Him with trumpet blast. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with flute and strings. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. God, we are here tonight because You are worthy of praise. You alone are worthy of praise and adoration and commendation because You alone are God. You alone have created all things, and by Your will do they exist. You alone have given of Yourself for salvation. You alone are the author and finisher of our faith. You alone are in control of the universe. You alone are sovereign and just and righteous and holy and merciful. You alone know all things. You alone are good. You alone are God. So God, tonight as we look into this psalm, and the prayer is that your Spirit would so embolden us with praise. Praise for you. For you alone are worthy. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So four questions. We're going to answer four questions tonight. These four questions are clearly answered here in this text. And the first question is in verse 1. And the question is, where? Where should we praise the Lord? If we are to praise the Lord, where is that to happen? Verse 1, praise God first in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. And what it's saying to us is praise Him everywhere. Now, there's a little bit of disagreement into what the beginning of verse 1 is saying when it says praise Him in His sanctuary. There are a few, and it is the minority, who take this as repeating the same thing, that praising Him in His sanctuary and in His mighty heavens are both repeating the refrain to praise Him in heaven, the heavenly places and those who've gone on. But if you read through the Psalms, and this one in particular, you see Psalm 150 is a culmination of the people and places who should be praising God. And it begins individually and gets broader and broader and broader as the last few Psalms go, and culminating with a not just in the temple, not just Jerusalem, not just the heavenly beings, which there's a whole psalm about the heavenly beings and the stars praising God, but everywhere. And it's this psalm is kind of more of a psalm of contrast, of saying both here and here, as opposed to one or the other. Because if you look at verse 2, and we'll answer that question in a second, but it's praise Him for His powerful acts, so this is what He does, and then for His abundant greatness, who He is. And so we'll see there's an everything, both what He does and who He is. And so each one of these answers is echoing the refrain, every whatever, where, every where, who, every one, when, every time, with what, with everything. And so verse 1, if you're going to be reading it correctly, you have to see it as an everywhere dynamic. He's not telling us to simply praise Him at a certain location, His sanctuary, but it's giving us a fuller understanding that His sanctuary is all of earth, and His sanctuary is all of created space, and in particular, for us as New Testament believers, His sanctuary, His temple is us. Now, there's a popular refrain that us traditional Southern Baptists like to say on Sundays. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And while that is a good refrain, it is not accurate. I understand what we mean by that, and I think we mean well. We also need to understand that when we say something like that, we're in many ways demeaning the gospel. Because the gospel teaches us that we don't have to go to a particular location to worship. There's nothing special in particular about this place. We, as a body of believers, could gather anywhere for worship, and there is no one place more holy than the next. Jesus comes not so that we can worship on this mountain or the other mountain, but anywhere you want to, we can worship in spirit and in truth. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So we now are the temple. God's sanctuary is in us. And so this first line, in a fuller understanding of it, is saying, worship Him in His sanctuary is with yourself, in your body, praise Him. All you who reside on earth, praise Him wherever you may be. But not only here on earth should we be a people praising Him, but the heavens as well. So first, the answer to the where question everywhere is, well, first, where? Earth. And then the mighty heavens equals not earth. So there's everyone on earth, everywhere on earth, and then there's not earth. And so the first verse just says to us, no matter where you are, heaven, earth, God is worthy to be praised. Where you are, there you are. Praise God. You do not have to be in a specific building. You do not have to be at a certain time on a certain day. Wherever you happen to be, that is a valid location to praise the Lord. Praise God and His sanctuary. Praise Him in the sanctuary that we call earth. Praise Him in His mighty heavens, anything that is not earth. Second, well, where should we praise Him? And then why? Why? What are the reasons that God is worthy of praise? And the answer is for everything. Praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. So we have powerful acts equals the things that He has done, which primarily throughout Scripture, we can put those things in three different categories. First is creation. Psalm 65, verse 5, the one who by His strength established the mountains, girded with His might. Revelation 4, 11. That's what the elders and angels are saying over and over. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy are You, O Lord and God, to receive praise. For You created all things. By Your will they exist and were created. So one thing we praise Him for, one act, one powerful act in which He's done, we praise Him for, is that He's created all things. And in creating all things, He's also put Himself in control of all things. So one other powerful act that He's worthy of praise for is that He is sovereign over all things. God is in control of all things, and He's worthy of praise for that. Psalm chapter 66, verse 7 says, He who rules by His might forever, who keeps His watch on the nations. The fact that God is completely and totally in control of all things means He is worthy of praise. For most of us, when we think God's powerful acts, we think of one particular powerful act. In our life, and also just in general, we think of salvation. It is apt and right for us when we think of the things that He has done that is worthy of praise for us to naturally lean towards the fact that God is a saving God. He is worthy of praise because He gave us His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is worthy of His praise because He demonstrated His love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is worthy of praise because on Christ and on the cross, all of the wrath of God that was due me and due you was poured out on Him, that He bore the penalty for our sins, and He is worthy of praise for that. He's worthy of praise because He's not just a God who glances over sin, but He punishes sin, and He will punish sin. He punished all of our sin on the cross, and there will be a day when all sin and all unrighteous are punished. And for all of those saving acts, everything He did for us in Christ, for being the one who would raise from the dead, He is worthy of praise. And the Psalms even say this, even before these saving acts are complete, the Psalms talk about Him being the saving God. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. In Psalm 145, verses 4 and 12, one generation shall commend Your works to another and shall declare Your mighty acts, to make known to the children of man Your mighty deeds, Your saving deeds, and the glorious splendor of Your kingdom. He is worthy to be praised because of the things that He does for us. Creation, His sovereignty, and in specific for us, the fact that He would save us and bring us to Himself, to free us from the bondage of sin, to raise us to life when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. He is worthy to be praised for that. He's worthy to be praised for every good and perfect gift that He gives us. Everything that we have, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, so anything we gain is from Him. Any blessing that we have as a church, any blessing that we have individually is from Him, and He's worthy to be praised for that. But many years ago, we sat down in a staff and we were thanking God over and over and over for all these things he was doing to us. And we just came to the conclusion of what happens if 3 years from now God hasn't done anything? Would he still be worthy of praise? Because he's not just worthy of praise because of what he's done for us and what he's done, period. But the psalm echoes it here. He's praise him for his powerful acts, but also praise him because he is abundantly great. Yes, he has done all of these great things, but the reason he's done all of these great things is because he is great. The reason he acts in grace and love and mercy is because he is a gracious and loving and merciful God. The reason he acts in justice on Christ on the cross is because he is a just God. The reason he acts righteously is because he is a righteous God. Every reason he does all of these things, the reason he gives us good and perfect gifts is because he is a good God. And there's so many times we forget these things. We get caught up in the pains of life and the trials of life, and we lose focus of the fact that God has acted and he is God. There's never a moment in our lives when God is not good and God is not God and God is not worthy to be praised. We may not understand what he's doing in our lives. We may not understand the acts that he's performing at that moment, but it doesn't change who he is. And so in answering the question, why should we praise him? Because he has acted, and he is good. He is God. We praise him for everything. Everything he's done and everything he is makes him worthy of praise. Well, then how are we to do this? It's the question a lot of people like to ask. How are we to express our praise? And the psalmist here lists some instruments. And so the question before us is the list here just all-inclusive? Or is this list the only type of instruments you can use? Or are there other things? So let's figure out what he's saying here. How are we to praise him? Praise him with trumpet blast. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with flute and strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. We have to understand that we're reading poetry here, and we're reading Hebrew poetry. And in doing so, these things don't often rhyme, but they create categories and parallels. And so look at the categories that are explained here. There's string, percussion, and wind instruments. All the gamut of all of instrumentation is used here with these instruments. There are cheap instruments, and there are expensive instruments. And there are refined, high class, for special, dignitary occasions. And there are lowly, cheap, for the commoner, revelry-type occasion instruments. And so what he's saying to us is, anything and everything you have is to be used for the praise of God. If you are broke and all you have is a piece of wood and you can bang on something with your piece of wood. If you are wealthy and you can afford the most highest class of all instrumentation, use the most expensive of all instrumentation for the praise of the Lord. If you are in the midst of despair, and the songs you want to sing demand refined, soft music, then praise the Lord with soft music. If you are in the throes of joy, in the throes of pleasure of God and praising him, and praise him with clashing cymbals, praise him joyfully and noisily and boisterously, praise him with everything you have. This passage here is not saying you can only use the trumpet or the harp or the lyre or the tambourine. These are giving us a broad understanding and saying whatever you have it, use it to praise the Lord. If all you have is a voice, use it. If all you have is some dancing feet, use your dancing feet. No matter what you have, whatever you have, whatever God has gifted you with, use it for the praise of the Lord. One commentary writer says it this. Says, these are not distinctions to be pressed beyond the fact that every kind of instrument, solemn or gay, percussive or melodic, gentle or strident, is rallied here to the praise of God. If you can play the drums for the praise of God. If you can play a trumpet, play the trumpet to the praise of God. If you can play a didgeridoo, play the didgeridoo to the praise of the Lord. If you can play a djembe for the praise of the Lord. If you can play one of those cool Jamaican drums that they have, if you ever, like, they have all these different things on the inside, play the Jamaican drum to the praise of the Lord. If you can play a violin, play the violin to the praise of the Lord. If you can dance, if you can dance, if you can do that, dance to the praise of the Lord. If you can't dance, make a joyful movement to the praise of the Lord. Whatever you have, use it to the praise of the Lord. If you can sing well to the praise of the Lord. If you sing poorly to the praise of the Lord. What God has gifted you with, use it to praise the Lord. So this psalm is saying there's not a type of music that is the best. There's not a type of music that you must play. There's not a type of music you can't play. It is simply saying whatever you have, play it. Now this is not saying that there's not times for particular kinds of music. Notice that this psalm is very boisterous and praising and laudatory and exclamation. And there's times for that. But notice in the instruments here, some are for despair. And there's times where certain kinds of music may not be appropriate. A funeral dirge is not for a wedding. There are different occasions for different kinds of music and different kinds of instruments. But the big picture here is no instrument is sinful. No kind of music is sinful. All can be used for the praise of the Lord. Amen. So where do we praise Him? Wherever we are. Why? For everything He is and everything He does. How? With anything and everything that we have. All that is within us. And who? Everyone. And everything. Let's look at the conclusion. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. I told you earlier that Psalm 150 is the culmination of the Psalms, but also this culmination of these five different Psalms. And they bring in a broader and broader spectrum of people that it's speaking to. Psalm 146 is an individual psalm. Hallelujah, my soul praise the Lord. Psalm 147 branches out a little bit. Hallelujah, how good it is to sing to our God. So the people of God are praising the Lord. So it goes individualistic to really the body of God, God's people. Psalm 148, hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens. And so it talks about the deeps, and it talks about the heavens and the stars and the moon, and becomes a little bit more inclusive. Psalm 149, hallelujah, sing a new song. Talks about the assembling of the people. When we assemble together, His praise and the assembly of the godly. And it talks about the entire nation. Let Israel celebrate its maker. And finally, Psalm 150. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Ants and gorillas and monkeys and whales. Let every created thing praise the Lord. In Psalm 148, verses 7 through 12, this is kind of an echo of this. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Praise the Lord. This concluding verse is two things. First, it is prescriptive. It is telling everyone and everything that God is worthy to be praised and should be praised. A prescription is someone else telling you, if you want to be healthy, do this. My son just got a prescription the other day. He had an infection in his foot from a splinter. And if he takes the prescription, if he does what is commanded him, things will go well for him. If he does not, things will not go well. And the same thing is true here when we talk about things that are prescribed to us in Scripture. It is prescribed to all people to praise the Lord. Everything that breathes, praise the Lord. And so it's telling all people and all beings, all things everywhere, that God alone is worthy to be praised. God demands the praise of all people. Missions and evangelism exists because everything that breathes isn't praising the Lord. But not only is it prescriptive, it's also prophetic, because there is coming a day when everything that breathes will praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a day when Psalm 150, verse 6, is going to occur. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Not just every knee will bow. I heard every creature, everything that breathes. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, all that is in them, saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever and ever and ever. There is coming a day in which the praise that will be on everyone's lips will be the praise of the Lord. The question for us is, what praise is on our lips now? And are we spreading the glory of God so that all people might praise him? If he is worthy of the praises of all people, if he is worthy of the praises no matter where we are, in Africa or in Haiti or in South America or in Canada, wherever you happen to be, he is worthy of the praises there. If he is worthy of the praises of all creatures, if he's worthy of the praises of all living beings, if he's worthy because he's purchased salvation for all people, then are we living a life such that this prescription can be followed by other people? Are we living a life so that this prophetic message can be answered? Are other people praising the Lord because you're praising the Lord? I believe that other people love Disney World more because of how much I've praised Disney World. I believe that other people love certain books now because I've praised certain books. I believe that people have more of an affirmation of my wife now because I've affirmed and praised my wife. I believe that there are certain things that certain other people like, movies and TV shows, because I have praised them. But I wonder how many people praise God more because of how much I've praised him. And I wonder if you would ask yourself that same question. How many other people praise God more because of how much you've praised him? What about on a Sunday morning? If someone to observe you praising the Lord, would they be more enthusiastic and more driven to praise God more or less through observing you praise the Lord? One final quote as we end, and this is James Montgomery Boyce, who's an old Baptist preacher and scholar, says this: let's be done with praise and worship that is always weak and unexciting. If if you cannot sing loudly and make loud music to praise the God who has redeemed you in Jesus Christ and is preparing you for heaven, perhaps you do not really know God or the gospel at all. But if you do know him, and if you do know the gospel, then praise the Lord. Praise him loudly. Praise him with all that you have, everything that is in you, everything that you can get your hands on. Praise him, because he alone is worthy. Let's pray. God, you alone are worthy of the praises of all people. And we confess that we so often give our praise to things and people who are not worthy. So God, we pray that we would get a further understanding of who you are. That a realization and an understanding of who you are and what you have done for us would so embolden us to worship enthusiastically, to praise you, to exclaim your name above all names. Because your name is above every name. God, we long for the day and look forward to the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that every person will praise you. But we also desire to be a people who are making that happen today. That in sharing the truth of who you are and sharing the truth of the gospel, we are furthering the praise and the glory and the renown of your name. Because you are the worthy of the praises of all people, not just ours. You're the worthy of the praises of our neighbors and our co-workers. You're worthy of the praise of the people on our kids' teams. You're worthy of the praise of our bosses and business workers. You're worthy of the praise of friends and family who do not know you. You're worthy of the praise of all people. So God, convict us now. Convict us of the lack of praise that we so often give you. Embolden our hearts to praise you, to give you the glory that you are due. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand at this time and we're going to sing.